Good morning. Welcome again to the fellowship and the privilege that we have to be able to come together and worship again this morning is just great, just to be able to spend this time in praise and worship together. So I believe this morning that if you are prepared, your heart is prepared, God is willing to meet with you this morning. And I'm just going to pause for a moment and ask the Lord to bless us with his Spirit. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We claim the promise this morning that we believe that you are here. We believe that you orchestrate the service and that you have anointed the word, the written word, the apostolic word. God, I pray that as we share it here this morning, that it would be to your honor and glory. And at this time and this place would be protected for you, and that you would watch out for the word, the message, and that it would reach the ear of the hearer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. It is good to be able to be here again this morning. Karen and I celebrated 30 years of marriage, 38 years of marriage. Ooh, boy, did you see that look I got? 38 years we celebrated last weekend, so we took some time off, weren't here. So I thank you for allowing us to do that. It was a blessed time to be able to do that. The title of the message this morning, I've titled A Different Spirit, A Different Spirit. And probably some of you are turning to Numbers already, and Numbers 13 and 14 is where we're going to be spending our time. And kind of the context of the message is this, that we need to persevere, that we need to keep on, and we need to keep going, and with a different spirit in the day that we live in. We are in challenging times. We are in times that we don't understand, and we are in times where we need to persevere. We need to continue on, even when it looks like it's impossible, looks like we can't. And let me just do a quick Louis story here. And for those of you that don't know Louis is our cat that we have and has made his residence there in our home. Anyway, Louis is starting to spend his nights outside. Sleeps all day, spends his night hunting and doing whatever cats do at night. And I was starting to discover some of the things that a cat does at night. There was a mole laying on our porch one morning. And then another day this week, there was a mole laying on our deck. This is good. Then this morning, I opened the door, the front door there, to the porch, and here there was a bird and a mouse laying there on the porch. I was tempted to put a picture up of the bird and the mouse, but I didn't have the guts, you see. So Louis, one of the things, I was sitting on a deck one day and I saw Louis crouching under the bird feeder. And the bird feeder is, you know, how many times higher than the cat? Because it's above the deck rail by about that much. So he's sitting on the deck and there's a bird sitting on the feeder and he makes a leap trying to get the bird. And he missed the bird, of course, but obviously somewhere along the line, Louis persevered and he brought in a mouse, he brought in a bird, he brought in two moles. Somewhere along the line, he continued to try until he reached his intentions. And I believe that's the challenge that God has for us this morning. You may be here this morning and it feels like you can't even begin to conquer what is before you. You may be here this morning and saying, it's impossible. I can't do it. I thought about when I got out of school, I started working at Satter's Feed Mill, and the first day that I went out, not the first day there, but the first time I went out with a truck to pick up a load of ear corn, and it was a 10-ton truck, so I could get 10 ton of ear corn on the truck, but it had to be shoveled on by hand. Well, actually, it was shoveled into an elevator, which ran it up onto the truck. But I figured out it was 2,880 some shovels full of corn at about 7 to 8 pounds per shovel. And about 50 to 100 shovels full into this already, I'm like, this is impossible. There is no way that this is going to happen. And, you know, it started to look really big, but I continued on, shoveling one shovel full after another, and eventually the truck was full. It's like, hey, made it, did it. Maybe you're here this morning and it just looked like the walls are big and the giants are tall. and I can't do it. Let's take a look at Caleb in Numbers 13. And it's a beautiful story. And I'm going to, first of all, read Numbers 14, 24. It says this: "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him to the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it." In other words, that's a reflection on after Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 spies went into the land. And by the way, anybody that's able to name the rest of the spies, the 10, anybody able to, they're there. They're in this scripture. We don't remember the ones that failed. We remember the one that succeeded, the one that went beyond, the one that was able to see through the eyes of God and was able to persevere and was able to eventually come into the promised land, one of the two, that of the original ones that left Egypt. And I'm here to challenge you this morning. We are in need, desperately in need today, of men and women, boys and girls, who are going to be of a different spirit, are going to be of a different spirit, not going to be influenced by the news, not going to be influenced by this world and all that it has to throw at us and make us scared and make it look like it is impossible to accomplish what God promised you could accomplish. Amen? I believe today we need men and women, boys and girls, who are going to rise up and say, I'm of a different spirit. I'm going to follow what God said. I'm going to do what God said because I know that I can because God said that I can. And it don't matter how big the giant looks. It doesn't matter how fortified the cities are. You can overcome, and we'll see in this here scripture of why I believe that this is just a message for us today, in that And God is calling us to live with a different spirit. A different spirit. What does it mean? Different is different. Different than what? Different than the world around us. Different than those that are defeated. Different than those that are caught up in addictions and say they cannot be delivered. They cannot be delivered. Different than people who are in financial crisis who say, it looks impossible, I can't do it. Yes, you can. The Bible says you can. And one of the things we'll notice here in this scripture is that when God is in it, there should be no question in our minds. There should be no question. And God is for you. You are the people of God. He sent his son to die for you. He sent his son to die for you. He is in this. He has this. It is not a problem for him. It is not a problem for him. And as we look at life, and I know how life can close in and can get us trapped in that feeling of, I can't do this. I can't do this. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. What does different mean? Different means literally that something does not conform to the standard or the norm. It is different. Different can be a positive thing. In fact, we have been called to be different than the world around us, okay? This morning, let's take a little bit of a look at a man who has showed us how to be different in the face of the crowd. Think about how many people that Joshua and Caleb, when they came back, and we'll read the story, but when they came back from spying out the land, in this story, Joshua and Caleb came back, and there was the reports were given, and there's the 10 that gave the bad report, and the people pretty much all turned against Joshua and Caleb. Would you have been bold enough? Are you bold enough this morning to stand in the face of the enemy, to stand in the face of when Satan wants to try to infiltrate your mind with the idea that the giants are tall, the walls of the city are impenetrable, the cities are just, they got the best ammunition, and it's, you can't take it. You can't take it. Yes, you can, because God is in it. If we give ourselves wholeheartedly to God, he can do the impossible within us. Let me say that again. If we give ourselves wholeheartedly, which we'll see is what Caleb did. If we give ourselves wholeheartedly to God, he is able to do the impossible within us. So let's turn to Numbers chapter 13 and read a couple of verses there, and we'll make our way through the story here, and hopefully we can glean some things and trust the Spirit of God to lead your thoughts as he leads mine. Numbers 13 verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them, men who were heads of the children of Israel. And I catch in this here, the thing that I want to point out is that God called them to a mission. And maybe you're here this morning and God's calling you to a mission, or maybe he's calling you to something that looks huge. So God is calling you to it. God is calling you with a purpose to do what he's asking you to do. Okay, so here we have in these first three verses, we have the men being called to do what they were supposed to do and going in and spying out the land. But we'll get to that. I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's jump on down to verse 18. In verse 18, it says, and see what the, so it names all the spies, which I'm not going to go through and name the spies and which tribes they were from, but started picking up again at verse 18. It says, "And see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak or few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether they are forest there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now is the time of the season of the first ripe grapes." So here they had, first of all, they were called, and then they were given the assignment of what they were supposed to do. And maybe you're here this morning, you've been called, you've been given the assignment, and it looks daunting. So jumping on down to verse 25, we have the report. When they come back from spying out the land, they come back in verse 25. It says, "And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. I read somewhere that it was about 150 miles or something like that, that they traveled in that time. They came back in 40 days. "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit.'" And if you remember, there was a bunch of grapes that they brought back that they had to carry between two men. It was in verse 24, the place called Valley of Eshcol, because the cluster which the men of Israel carried down there, doesn't say the two men, but it does somewhere else. Anyway, nevertheless, in verse 28, "The people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." And then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are words of life that are being spoken in a time when words of death are being spoken all around him. And he stands up, hold on a minute. We can do this. God said we can. We can do this. And it says in verse 31, "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight.'" I mean, they exaggerate a little bit here. They're like grasshoppers in front of these guys. These guys are big. And they put a little more of their fear that they felt when they were there. They imparted that to the people. How like the day that we're living in, that there is this goal to impart fear into people. So that people will not pursue, will not go forward, will not walk in the confidence that God has brought, will not walk in the confidence and the joy that God has given, but will shrivel up in fear, and we'll see that happens. So the report, they concluded that it could not be done. And that's where I'm at today, this morning. The message that I feel like God has for us this morning is that we are living in perilous times, and it is time to wake up. It is time to understand it. Yes, we do live in perilous times, but we are not defeated. We are the children of the King. We are the children of God. We are of God's kingdom, not of this kingdom. We are not defeated. We will stand up and we will continue to fight against the enemy as long as God gives us breath. And right here, I want to stop and say that I'm not encouraging you to go out and burn down the White House or whatever. That's pretty radical. But what I'm suggesting this morning is that we are in a spiritual battle. We are in perilous times. Yes, we are at war, not physically. As a country, but as a people of God, as a kingdom of God, we are at war, and it is becoming intense. It is becoming intense. It says here in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves," not God, "covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, innocent or incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." A different spirit. And I'm here to tell you this morning, the world would love nothing more than to have the Christian be part of them, to embrace them, to have the Christian just to make them feel good, to make the Christian feel part of this. But we're not. We are of a different spirit. We are of a different kingdom. We are not of this world. And Jesus, you know, everybody uses the example that Jesus went and ate with the sinners. Yes, he did, but he did not become like them. He did not adopt their ways. He called them to come to him. He was of a different spirit. And that's the spirit that you and I have within us today. Through the Holy Spirit, we have the Spirit of Christ in us, a different spirit, not of fear, but of love and a sound mind. Matthew 24:6 says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass." It is not a physical war, it is a spiritual war that you and I are experiencing today. It's a spiritual war. And I assure you, if you're anything like me, there are times that it looks huge. There are times that I see the giants. There are times that I see the fortified cities. There are times that I see the walls. I say, it's impossible. And then I hear the words of Caleb. No, stop. Stop. Stop saying that. Because God said it is possible. God said you can do it. God said it is possible. And one of the things that I think happens is that it says in Joel 3:9, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say what? I am strong. By the power of God, not by my might, not even a little bit. So I fear this morning that we have mighty men and women, we have mighty children, we have mighty people for the kingdom of God, but there may be some that have fallen asleep, and this morning my cry is to wake up, because we are in a spiritual battle. We are in a spiritual, I woke up last night and my arm had fallen asleep and it was useless. I have a good arm, but it was useless. It was asleep. Wake up for the kingdom of God. Understand that we are in a battle and Satan is out to destroy you. Satan wants you. He wants to destroy you. If you're of the kingdom of God, assure this morning that you have a bullseye right on your back. You heard me say it before, but I say it again. If you're of the kingdom of God this morning, you have a bullseye right in the middle of your back. Satan wants you. And I don't say that to strike fear. I say that to say, wake up, be aware, be alert, understand that we are in a battle. And if you're just gonna sit around and close your eyes and say, oh, it's not happening, I'm okay. We'll go eat lunch and we'll play together and no, it's not bad. There's nothing bad going on. Everything's good. I don't care how big and bad to the bone you are, if you're sleeping, you're pointless for the kingdom of God. You see what I mean? Do we have the spirit? Do we have the spirit of Caleb this morning? Do we have this? We're at war. They're not terrorists from another country. They're terrorists of a spiritual kind, wanting to draw us into the grips of Satan. And this happens through drugs. It happens through pornography. It happens through disobedience. Disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft. These are the things that Satan will throw at us. He'll make us feel like we want to. He makes the world look appealing. It's not. It's not. And you are the victor in Christ Jesus. And when we start looking at it through the eyes of God, then we'll see the way Caleb saw it. No, they're not there. It's no problem. Yeah, they're big and all that. No big deal. No big deal. God is on our side. God is on our side, and he has this. And while we sit around pretending it's not happening, he's stealing our children. He's wrecking our homes. And he's destroying countless lives. While we sit around and pretend it's not happening, we're just having fun. We're just here to have fun. Did you have fun this weekend? That's the main thing. Did I have fun this weekend? Did you have fun on your trip? Was that the main thing? Is that what life's about? Is it about having fun? While we sit around having fun, what's the enemy doing? Not to terrify us, but we need to be awake. We need to be awake. We are in a battle. Caleb was awake. He understood. He saw. He saw through the eyes of God. And he said, no, they might have been big men, big walls, big cities, all that. But no, we can do it. He was awake. He was a fighter. He stood up for what he believed was right. And it just amuses me as we go on into the scripture here in a little bit. But how that spirit that Caleb had that rose up. Life has a way of putting us to sleep. Life has a way of we lose our passion. We lose vision. Things happen that we get discouraged. Things don't happen, we get discouraged. When that happens, our faith becomes weak. And there's a tendency to slip into a spiritual slumber. There's a tendency to slip into a spiritual slumber. Can't do it anyway. I have no hope. I'm here to offer you hope this morning through the Word of God. God is good. God is good. And He imparts to us a hope that is way beyond what you can touch. He imparts to us a hope. Like I said, He gave His Son to die for you. There is hope. We need the spirit of Caleb to rise up in the church today, the spirit of boldness, patience, perseverance, commitment and obedience, praise. Maybe you're here this morning, you've become focused on the giant. You've become focused on the city. Maybe there's an addiction that you're struggling with and it just looks like it's impossible. Maybe you're here this morning and there's a relationship. Maybe you're here this morning and there's a child or a parent or a relationship that just seems impossible to make right. Maybe you're here this morning and you're going through a financial hardship and it looks like a giant. It looks like it is impossible to ever overcome. Maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling with a physical difficulty, a physical challenge. Maybe your body's not working the way it's supposed to. This morning, you're sitting here and you're feeling like, I can't do this. That is exactly what Satan wants you to believe this morning. That is exactly what he wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that you cannot do it. Maybe you're being challenged doctrinally or whatever it is, and Satan wants you to believe you can't do it. It's big. There are giants and it's huge and I can't do it. I am here to tell you this morning in the words of Caleb, yes, you can. Yes, you can. I'm not going to tell you that everything's going to work out. I'm not going to tell you that you're going to be able to restore that relationship. I'm not going to tell you that you might not always struggle with that addiction somewhat. I believe that you can be free. Okay? But I'm not going to sit here and tell you this morning that you're going to be healed. But I am going to sit here and tell you this morning that God is able to walk with you through whatever it is, whatever your circumstance is, however big the giant looks, however big the city looks, however thick the walls are. They can come crashing down by marching around, praising and singing glory to God. So it's that battle that goes on in the mind. You may not see a physical difference, but I assure you, you will see in your mind, in the battleground of your mind, you will be a winner. You will be a winner. Because God has promised that. Maybe like the children of Israel, as we'll go on here in verse 4, in chapter 14, where they wanted to go back to the land. They wanted to go back to where they were. We're out here in the wilderness and we can't even go into this promised land that God told us because there's big men and there's big cities. We can't even do it. So let's go back to where we came in. Let's go back to bondage. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been wrestling with this addiction. You've been wrestling with this relationship and you're saying, I'm done, I'm tired. I just want to go back to where things are just normally in bondage. Because it is a battle. It is a fight this morning. It is not easy for the kingdom of God. It's not easy. There are battles to fight, but the promise is that we have the victory in Jesus. You don't have to be a victim. You do not have to be a victim this morning. We need a different spirit. I'm just going to read on here in Numbers 14, verses 1 through 10. It says this, and so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and returned to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And the tearing of clothes was always to make an expression, and I won't do it this morning, but the tearing of clothes was to make an expression. I mean what I'm saying. Sit up and pay attention. You need to listen to me. I should have put another shirt on and tore it off, but anyway. He says, they tore their clothes and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is exceedingly good land. This is land that you want. In your addiction, there is a land that God has presented that you want. In your physical, in your financial, there is a land that God has presented that you want. It's a good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land, into this land, and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Let me read that verse again. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And when we are called as children of God, when we are faced with challenges in life, that is the thing that makes us stronger. It is not to make us weak. It is not to make us defeated, but it is the bread that makes us stronger in our lives, in our spiritual lives, when we are challenged with life, when we are faced with the giants, when we are faced with the cities. It makes us stronger. It doesn't make us weak. And he goes on and says in verse 10, and all the congregation said, wow, we're all with you. No, they did not. And all the congregation said, stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Hallelujah. God always shows up on time. He always shows up on time. Okay, this is the whole congregation of Israel is saying, shut these guys up. We're defeated. We don't want to hear it. Shut them up. Stone them. Stone them. And God shows up. Friends, this morning we need the Spirit of God in our lives, in our families, in our homes, in our communities, in our country. We need the Spirit. We need this different spirit, the spirit that Caleb had, this different spirit to speak words of life into the people around us. We need that spirit more than ever in the day that we're living in, to speak words of life. They were speaking the words of life that what happens is, it says, then Caleb quieted the people, in going back to verse 13, 30, it says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome. Would to God that we have men and women and boys and girls who are willing to speak words of life in the face of those that are speaking words of death. That's the spirit. That's the different spirit. How often you and I have been guilty. I have been guilty. I'm not going to include you. But how often I have been guilty of getting involved in talking bad about someone or talking bad about a situation or just bringing a negative word to something that did not deserve a negative word. I've been there. You know, we've all been in a place where a teenager begins to speak words of death about their parents. A coworker starts to speak words of death about the boss. A neighbor starts to speak words of death about the township. Multitudes of people speak words of death about the president. And there's those that in the congregation speak words of death about the pastor. And would to God that we would have people like Caleb that would be willing to stand up and would be willing to stand up and speak words of life. No, hold on, hold on. You're not seeing it clearly. It looks big. It looks like a giant. It looks like walled cities. But God is in here. God is in it. God is able to accomplish. You know, the first thing that happens when things quit going our way, okay, financially, physically, at work, whatever it is, you find somebody to blame, okay? You look for somebody to blame it on. And then you speak words of death about that person. Caleb wasn't willing to do that. The congregation rose up and they complained against Moses and Aaron. And in verse 4 it says, so they said to one another, let's select another leader. How often as a parent, when I was a teenager, I would like to select another parent. You know, when they were doing things that were good for me, when they were doing things that were good for me, okay, I'm done. Jimmy's dad, he doesn't do that. He's, you know, he's all right. Anyway. So not only did these 10 men that were speaking words of death, they not only spoke words of death to themselves, but it included their families, because we know what the outcome was. Remember what the outcome was? They spend the next 40 years in the wilderness, and all that generation died off. So they spoke death to their families. They spoke death to a vision. They spoke death to the Spirit of God. And I need to wrap this up. But anyway, moving on. In verse 22 of chapter 14, verse 22, it says this. And here God gets into why. This is what I want us to catch, that the spirit of Caleb was different and why it was different. In verse 22, it says, God says, because all these men, he pronounced a judgment on them. And he says in verse 22, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt, in the wilderness, and have put me to test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice. Let me read again. Because all these men who have seen my glory and signs which I did in Egypt, in the wilderness, have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice. And I thought about how many times you and I have seen the power of God move, and we know that God is capable. We know that he is able to bring the giant down. We know that he is able to bring the walls of the city down, because we've seen it. We've experienced it. I've experienced it in my own life, spiritually, where walls were brought down that I didn't think could be brought down, and they're brought down. Why would he not do the same again? He wants to do that for you. He wants to do that. You are not in bondage. You are not in bondage. And he goes on, he says, verse 23, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, different than what? He saw the glory of God. He remembered the glory of God. He saw the giants and the walled cities through the eyes of God. He remembered. And he also says he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. I will bring into the land where he went and his descendants and he shall inherit it. And so we see as Caleb wandered through the wilderness, he went through all the same things that the rest of the children of Israel did. But why did he see God differently? Why did he see God differently? He followed God fully. He followed God fully. He saw what God did. He saw the miracles that God did. And he didn't test God. He did not test God. He saw it, he believed it, and he said, yes, this is our God. If he said he's going to do it, he will do it. And we are in a day where we need to be bold, where we need to be bold. When I pray for this congregation, I pray for boldness. That's what I pray for. I pray for you, I pray for boldness, that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy, the wiles of the devil. I don't pray for boldness that you will be, it would be nice if we'd all never have to experience any kind of persecution or anything like that, But I pray for boldness, that if the time and when the time comes, and even today when you are sitting here and it looks like the giants are too big and the walls are too big, I pray for boldness for you this morning. Because through the power of God, through the Spirit of God, we are a different spirit, of a different spirit. Walk in that confidence. Walk in that assurance. Don't give up. Don't give up. Walk in that assurance. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to look into your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to shape us and mold us into the people that you want us to be. God, I continue to pray for this congregation. Pray, Father, that we would be able to be a living, shining testimony, that everywhere we go, that people would see that we are of a different spirit. And that's shown in our confidence, in our boldness, in our ability to trust when it seems like it's impossible. It's possible by you, Lord. And I pray that we'd be able to show that to the world around us. Lord, as we go out from this place this week, I pray that your kingdom would be a better place as we practice what you have shared with us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you give us wisdom with our neighbors, with our families, with our children, with our co-workers, with just the people around us, Lord. I pray that there would be wisdom, that we would know how to respond in the same way that Caleb did and say, hold on. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. In Jesus' name, amen. Ask the chorister to come and lead us in the closing song.